Heavenly Father, we are privileged this evening to be able to come before your throne of grace. Privileged, Lord, for the opportunity that you have spared us for one more night so that we can hear the gospel of your Son, Jesus, proclaimed unto us. So there are things errant within our lives. We have the opportunity to correct those this evening before it is eternally and lasting too late. We pray, Lord, that on the call this evening there is someone who is seeking the truth concerning your Son, Jesus. Thankful, Lord, that Brother Yarber will proclaim unto them such a message that is able to lead them to Jesus so that they can know of his inspired commands that you have given them and that they will know what is required of them to be saved. Heavenly Father, we ask that your word not return to your void. Pray, Lord, that someone is seeking the truth tonight and that your word falls upon fertile ground. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. We thank you so very much for working with us. We are so thankful to have each and every person on the call tonight. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. To those who are on the call tonight who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are very honored guests. We thank you for being on the call tonight. Now, we pray to have your ears to hear the truth tonight. Take your Bible, open it up, for in the Church of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right. And the word of the Bible is right. If you want to go to heaven, you got to do what does say the Lord. We're talking about what's written. It's last night of this month, and tonight I was speaking to Professor Brother Larry Yarber, Father Clint. Clint was on last night, did a great job. Tonight, he will answer this question about why were they all baptized. Brother Yarber preaches for the Prairie Street Church of Christ in West Plains, Missouri. They're preaching over 40 some years, almost 50 years now. We're waiting to hear you, Brother Yarber. Let us know, why were they all baptized? Tell us.
I'm going to begin by talking about about John the Baptist. And we read about John the Baptist in Mark chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where the Bible says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. I want you to notice, our question is, why were they all baptized? John was sent as the forerunner of the Christ, and he began to preach baptism in order to prepare the people for the coming of the Christ and the baptism that Jesus Christ himself would teach. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself was baptized by John. We read in the book of Matthew chapter 3, and beginning there in verse 13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, if you notice, Jesus was baptized, as he states there in verse number 15, to fulfill all righteousness. You and I are to be baptized for the remission of our sin, but we know that our Lord had no sin. Therefore, our Lord was not baptized for remission of sin, but as is stated in the text, to fulfill all righteousness. Paul would say of our Lord in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus was baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness. With the sending of John, we find that John began to preach the baptism, preparing the people for the baptism of Christ. And because now baptism was being one of the conditions of righteousness, Jesus had to observe that command. Even though he was sinless, he observed that command. Now, you and I have committed many sins, we know, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God." So if the sinless Son of God had to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness, why is it that we would think that sinful creatures as we are can escape the command to be baptized and still be pleasing unto God. But from this, we want to go just a little farther. Immediately after the crucifixion of our Lord, his death, burial, and resurrection, if you remember, we read in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Why would Jesus, my friends, commission these disciples and go tell them to teach the gospel to the world and baptize these people that believed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? If you'll go to Mark chapter 16, this is repeated again, and in Mark's account, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. If baptism is not essential to salvation, and if it has no religious significance whatsoever, then why would Jesus tell those disciples to go unto all the world and to preach baptism and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? Why would Jesus himself, my friends, submit himself to baptism if baptism had no religious significance whatsoever, and it is a take or leave situation, you can do either one? Why was Jesus baptized? And why would the one that would prepare the world for the coming of the Christ and for the teaching of his baptism, why would that one come baptizing people and Jesus submit to that baptism? Well, those disciples, those apostles, they did exactly what Jesus had commanded them. They went into the world and they began to preach the gospel. We read of the first gospel sermon being preached after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord in Acts chapter 2. And Peter, as he concludes his lesson, he tells them in Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, verse 37, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls, reading through verse 41. Now, friends, if baptism was not necessary for salvation, and if it were not essential, had no religious significance whatsoever, why did Peter preach unto those people on the day of Pentecost, the first gospel sermon after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, when they said, what shall we do, upon finding that they had crucified the Lord? Why did Peter say, you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins? Why would he have told them that? But is that not what the Lord had told him to do? To go into all the world along with all of the other disciples and to preach the gospel to every creature, and those that would believe that message and obey that message through that watery grave of baptism would be saved. Those that would not believe that message were going to be condemned, as we just read in Mark 16, 15, and 16. We go just a little further then into the book of Acts, and the next section we want to look at comes from Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, we find that Philip goes down to the city of Samaria, And there in Samaria, Philip is going to preach unto them the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now I want you to notice, he preached Christ, didn't he? But when we get to verses 12 and 13, it says, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, why would Philip preach baptism to these Samaritans if baptism is not essential for salvation, if it has nothing to do with religious rightness or wrongness? Why would he preach baptism unto them? But notice it said he preached Christ. But when he preached Christ, he talked about the things of the kingdom or the church, and baptism was included. They included the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized then. We don't have to go very far, and we find this happens again in the 8th chapter. In verse 35, Philip is traveling along, and he comes across an Ethiopian eunuch. This man had been to Jerusalem for to worship and was returning, and sitting in his chariot, Philip was sent to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. When he asked the man if he understands what he reads, the Ethiopian eunuch tells Philip, why don't you come up and explain these things to me? And we read in Acts 8:35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, verse 38, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, friends, here again, Christ was what was being preached. He preached Christ unto him. Years ago, we heard it said, don't preach the plan, preach the man. Friends, when you preach Christ, you have to preach the plan. When you preach Christ, as we noticed in Acts 8, 5, and then verses 12 and 13, you have to preach the kingdom. They are both one and the same. He preached Christ to the Samaritans in verse 5, in verses 12 and 13. He preached, taught them about the kingdom and the name of Christ, and they were baptized. Here in the verse 35, he preaches Jesus unto this Ethiopian eunuch, and in verse 38, they baptize him. Well, when you preach the man, you have to preach the plan, and you have to preach his kingdom. You can't cut the head off the body. The church is his body, and if you're going to preach about the body, you have to preach about the head. If you're going to preach about the head, you have to preach about the body. You can't separate the two. Well, from Acts chapter 8, again, we ask the question, though, if baptism isn't necessary for salvation and it's unessential in the religious matters, then why was Jesus baptized? Why did John the Baptist come preaching baptism? Why were those on the day of Pentecost told to be baptized? Why did Jesus commission his disciples to go into all the world and preach baptism? Why is it that the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized? Why is it that these Samaritans were baptized? And it doesn't stop there. We go to chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, we have Paul on the road to Damascus. The Lord appears to him. It said, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, there is this further account given of this event in Acts chapter 22. Later on, when Paul makes his defense before the Roman emperors, And there in Romans 22, 6, or Acts chapter 22 and verse number 16, Ananias tells him when he goes in the city, this is what he was told to do. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Why was Paul told to be baptized and wash away his sins? If he's already sinless, he wouldn't have to be washed in that watery grave of baptism, would he? And if baptism has no religious significance whatsoever, why would Paul be told by Ananias to arise and be baptized? But we have to remember the Lord told him, go in the city and it will be told you what you must do, not what you might do, not what would be a good idea or might appear real good. He said, you must do this. Well, he was baptized. From Acts chapter 9, we go to Acts chapter 10. Here we have the first of the Gentile converts who were under that patriarchal system, Cornelius and his household. The church has been in existence now approximately 10 years, according to the dating of these things by scholars. And so here is a household of Gentiles, but the gospel hasn't went to them yet. Peter is told to take the gospel to them, and they are told he is coming to teach them the gospel. And when we go to Acts chapter 10, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentile also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days, concluding the chapter, verse 48. Here again we ask the question, students, why were these Gentiles, the first of the Gentile converts, told they needed to be baptized? Peter said, can any man forbid water? Now, the Holy Spirit had already come upon them in Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. We are told there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Holy Spirit baptism was never a command. You read in Luke chapter 24 and Acts chapter 1, and Luke wrote both of those books. He begins the book of Acts where he left off the book of Luke, and in both of those accounts, he tells them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise, which was that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, if the reception of the Holy Spirit was the only baptism that that is commanded for us today, these people had already received the Spirit in some form or another. And but Peter said, can any man forbid water? Water is the element of baptism, and so they were commanded then to be baptized in the name of the Lord. When we look at these things, students, why are all of these people being baptized? Why did John the Baptist come preparing them for baptism? Why did Jesus submit to baptism? If it wasn't important, Jesus could not break the laws of God and be righteous. He didn't sin like you and I, but he said it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness, and so John baptized him. Why did Jesus commission those disciples to go out into the world to be baptized? Why were all of these people baptized? Why? Acts chapter 2, we have there those on the day of Pentecost, 8:5 and verses 12 and 13, we have the Samaritans being baptized. In Acts 8:35 through 38, we have the Ethiopian eunuch being baptized. 9:6 and 22:16, we have Paul being baptized. Chapter 10, 44 through 48, we have all of these Gentiles being baptized. And incidentally, in chapter 11, Peter was called on the carpet because he had went to these Gentiles and taught them the gospel. And they had responded by being baptized. Well, we move from this into Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, in verses 14 and 15, We find that Paul and Barnabas or Silas are preaching the word of God, and it says a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, how did God open her heart? It was through the preaching of the word. It was not through some miraculous act of the Holy Spirit pouncing upon her or jabbing her with a shocking rod and making her respond. She responded to the things that Paul taught. And in verse 15 it says, when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, why was Lydia and her household baptized? If baptism is not essential for salvation, students, if baptism is a take-it-or-leave-it situation, you don't have to or you can, it's just up to you, why were all of these people being told these things, and why did Jesus command his disciples to go and tell them these things? We go right on down here in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are then apprehended for preaching the gospel, and they're locked up. And it tells us in verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And immediately there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's hands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he, calling for a light, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of their night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Now in verse 25, it said it was about midnight. Why was the urgent need to baptize these people? It's midnight. It can't be a convenient time. God is going to open these prison doors, and this guard awakening, the Roman soldier was responsible for the prisoners. If they escape, they'll kill him. They would take his life because he had failed his duty. Well, they tell him, don't worry, we're all here. And he asked them, what must I do to be saved? And they said, you're going to have to believe on the Lord. Well, the Lord was taught unto him. Remember, to preach Christ is to preach the plan. And when they taught him about the Lord, he and his were baptized the same hour of the night. Why are all of these people being baptized? If baptism has nothing to do with the salvation of the soul, if baptism is a take-it-or-leave-it situation, surely this man would have been one that would have waited to be baptized. Why the same hour of the night, in the midnight hours? Why the urgency to be baptized? Well, it doesn't end there. We follow right on over into Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. Paul comes to the city of Corinth, and he's preaching the gospel unto them. It says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Well, why are they being baptized? Why are all of these people so urgent to be baptized? We go again in the book of Acts 18, and we begin there in verse 24. And we read of a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. I want you to notice, he comes to the city of Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, John has already died. He's fulfilled his work. Jesus has died also. He has fulfilled his work. And the baptism of Christ is now in place. But these people were being taught by Apollos. He's mighty in the scriptures, and he's instructed in the way of the Lord, but he only knows the baptism of John. He began, verse 26, to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he had come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus is Christ. Now, Apollos goes on into the region of Achaia. One of the cities there is Corinth, and that is where he went, and we know that when we pick up the story in chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 1 tells us it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. He comes to the very place that Apollos has just left. And Apollos had taught these people the baptism of John. That's all he knew. Now, Priscilla and Aquila had taken him aside and taught him more perfectly. So when he goes into the region of Achaia and the city of Corinth, he knows what to teach them now. But Paul is here in Ephesus where he had just been. And verse 2 tells us, this is Paul, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, verse 5. Now I want you to notice what has happened here, students. Here was this group of people at Ephesus that had been taught the baptism of John and apparently had been baptized by that baptism, because when Apollos leaves them and goes to Corinth, Paul comes into Ephesus, he finds these disciples, and he asks them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They told him, we haven't even heard whether there is a Holy Ghost. And he said, what were you baptized into? They said, unto John's baptism. He said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him that should come after him, that is Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why baptize them again? They were just immersed. If baptism has, it doesn't have any value anyhow, according to many in the religious world, and if that is the case, then why in the world is Paul baptizing them again? And we read in Mark chapter 1 and verse 4 earlier, students, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance. Now get this, for the remission of sin. Whatever you want to say about John's baptism, somehow it was connected to the remission of sin. So these men had been baptized in some manner for remission of sin previous to this second baptism where Paul baptizes them again. Friends, there's only one baptism we read in Ephesians 4:4 through 6, and we've already noticed the element is water. And if one is not baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and for the remission of sin, as they were in Acts chapter 2:38, as the Apostle Paul was, Acts 22:16, and these other peoples, if they weren't baptized for those reasons and in that manner, their baptism is invalid. It's not a good baptism. And Paul illustrates that by baptizing them again, Acts 19, 1 through 5. But again, the question comes to us, why were they all baptized? Why was it that John the Baptist, preparing the way for the Master and his teachings, began this rite of baptism? And why was it that Jesus submitted to that baptism? if he could be righteous in the sight of God by ignoring baptism. Surely, if the sinless Son of God had to submit himself to the watery grave of baptism, how much more a sinner like you and I? Then we find, why would Jesus have lied to the disciples and tell them to go out there and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and those that believe and are baptized will be saved, if baptism had nothing to do with salvation? Why would those on the day of Pentecost been taught by those apostles, Peter and the other, you need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? Why would they have taught that? And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and your children and all that are far, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, the promise and the gift there are one and the same, eternal life. Jesus, the Bible says in Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And John said in 1 John 2:25, this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Why would the Samaritans have been baptized? Why would the Ethiopian eunuch been baptized? Why would Paul of Tarsus been baptized? Why would of the household of Cornelius been baptized? Why were those Corinthians baptized? Why were those at Ephesus baptized twice? If baptism has nothing to do with the salvation of the soul and has no religious significance, you tell me, students, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to answer this, why were they all baptized? Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Well, I'll tell you what, anyone who believes the Bible should never question baptism. That's obvious to us. Why were they all baptized? Jesus commanded and they obeyed. And that's what everybody on this call have to do in order to be saved. That's why we bring men like Brother Yarber on, and you're on the call today, and you're visiting with us, and you're not a member of the Church of Christ. These people were baptized. The Bible says by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. That one body is the Church of Christ. They have the baptism, they've added to the true church, the only church in the Bible. So you may have been baptized, but you're not a member of that true church. Just like the people in Acts 19 he talked about. They had to be taught again. That baptism was invalid. Your baptism was invalid. If you've been listening to us and you have questions, you've heard tonight the gospel. You believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus be the Son of God before men. That's what you must do. And then you must be baptized. What we'll do, we'll get someone to you. Get back with the person who put you on a call. They can get to their preacher and their congregation. They'll baptize you no matter where you are, a member of the Church of Christ. We believe that one must be baptized as Jesus commanded, as his brother has taught us tonight. Many in the Bible. Why were they all baptized? Because Jesus told them to be baptized. So why won't you get baptized? So, Brother Brooks, I don't want to be baptized. Okay? Where are you at, Linda, listening to all of you? Let us know. Email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make arrangements to get you baptized. And we've done several who call and listen to our calls since we've been doing this meeting. This call here is intended to inform you that you must be baptized. You must be in the one true church. Those are the two things you should learn from our program. And that true church is the Church of Christ. The true baptism puts you into the true church. If you're not in the true church or the Church of Christ, then you didn't get the right baptism. And we want to help you. We want to help you. Now, you may want to go back and listen, but y'all, we gave a lot of scriptures. He walked us all through the New Testament showing why they were baptized. They were all baptized. Go back and listen to it. You go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net, at HollandHeightsCoc.net, and all of the sermons are on there. Just go to the Nationwide Gospel Meeting, and you'll find all of our sermons from the month of May. Not just baptism, sinner's prayer, denomination of churches. Where did they all come from? It's all many, many topics there you can learn if you have a question that's hindering you from being saved. Now, let me just say this. You can keep playing with this thing as Russian roulette, or you can decide to obey before you turn it too late. Don't keep putting it off. It's going to always say one baptism, one church. It's going to say the same thing every time you read it. Jesus said, he that believe in his baptized shall be saved. That's what he said in Mark 16:15-16. So if you believe in Jesus, certainly, y'all believe in his word. So let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, we thank you for loving the world. For giving your only Son, Father, he gave his life on Calvary. Died that cruel death by crucifixion. His very rose again and gave a great commission for us to go into all the world. And that's what we're doing. We're preaching the gospel of your Son's death, burial, and resurrection. And you said through him, if they believe and baptize, they'll be saved. We're preaching that, Father. We just pray today we'll receive it with meekness and obey it for eternity and everlastingly too late. Thank you for Brother Yarber. Thank you for his son. Thank you, Father, for all the fathers and sons who come on our program this month. Thank you for these men who are raising up young men to carry the bloodstained banner. We pray your blessings upon our effort as we go into December. Continue to bless us, Father. Most importantly, bless our visitors. Bless those who have not obeyed. Lord, give them time. We pray that their hearts will be open and receive your word with meekness and not reject it. They will obey it before it's eternally too late. Thank you for all of our speakers that are volunteering their 30 minutes each night from all across this nation, these brothers, these preachers. Thank you for all of them, Lord. Pray for them and their families and their ministries. It's in Jesus' name we pray this prayer. Amen. Another great week, another great month. We close it out with a bang, but Larry, you did a great job. We're so thankful that you accepted our invitation. And I'm so thankful to get to know so many sound preachers across the nation that I knew nothing about. And I'm getting to know these brothers. I've just been blessed just to get to know them. And we love those who believe that the Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. You don't want to miss next month. We got an upcoming month. It's going to be some headliners, you all. The flyers are out now. They're hot off the press as of today. The Supreme Court of Heaven has ruled. And the Bible says, forever, O Lord, that word is settled in heaven. God's word has settled the matters that men are talking about today, such as same-sex marriage, racial tension, abortion, homosexuality. We're going to talk about all of that. You don't want to miss the month of December. Let's close out 2020. Christians, Church of Christ members, let's pack the call. Let's take the numbers where they've never been since we started this meeting in May. You can do it. Call your congregation. Call your preachers. Call your elders. Call all those who you know love the Lord and love saving souls. Let's do this for the month of May. We're going to prove that the Supreme Court of Heaven has ruled on these matters. We believe it. God said it. That settles it, whether we believe it or not. May God bless you. Have a good weekend. Good night. We love you.